Okay. This is my pastor up here with us tonight to help us to manage part of this revival. I said earlier, the first time I heard him preach, I was a lost man, but I want to also clarify 24 years ago. I ain't been lost since. Man, for lack of better words, I've been enjoying the journey. I'd like to invite him up here to the pulpit, get him all wired up, and I'm going to try my best to shut up and get out of the way. My pastor, Brother Ricky Prophet, and we're glad to have him. It's good to have Brother Willard with us. I believe the Lord gave him something that we need. And let's pay attention to the Word of God tonight.
All right. It's always good to be in the Lord's house, and most especially when He's there.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. And we appreciate you coming out tonight. As Brother Eddie said, we already got a good crowd, and he's been talking to me this week, and I've been away too, and he's called me one day and told me he was having a good meeting, and so we're glad for that you've been having a good meeting. And we hope it don't work out like one preacher said he was preaching. They had another preacher the first part of the week, and then he started and said after his first night, said we was having a good meeting. And so I hope you still have a good meeting after we get done tonight. But if you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 tonight. I believe the Lord would have us to preach from this chapter tonight, 2 Peter chapter 3 tonight. And we want to look there. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1, and I'm probably going to read down to verse 15 tonight, and it's all text verses tonight.
Amen.
It's all talking about the coming of the Lord.
Praise God.
And we believe the Lord is going to come again. We have grounds to believe that, because there's a whole lot about it in the Bible. And Jesus said that if he went away, he said he would come again.
Right.
And to receive us unto himself, that where he was, that there we might be also. That's our hope. That's what the Bible refers to as the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity we have, Lord, this side of eternity, that we might gather, Lord, for the purpose of a revival service tonight. We thank you for what's already been done this week, and Lord, for your presence that's been in these services, and for the people that have been on the altar, Lord, this week, and people that have been seeking the Lord to find help. And Father, as we come now tonight, we know that without you, Lord, it's all just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And so we ask you to come tonight, Lord, and anoint us afresh. Lord, we ask you to search this crowd tonight. We know the eyes of the Lord, they run throughout the earth, Lord, beholding the good and the evil. And we pray you'll search our hearts, this crowd tonight. And Lord, if there's people here tonight that are not saved, we pray their hearts would be dealt with like they never have before. Father, we pray the conviction upon their hearts might be strong tonight, and that they would not even try to resist the Holy Ghost, but Lord, they would today, if they hear His voice, Lord, that they would hearken unto it and respond and be saved by the grace of God. For these that are saved, Lord, tonight, may our hearts be challenged and be lifted up, Lord, to know that you're coming soon, Lord, for your church that's now in this world to take it to the other world. Now, Father, I ask you tonight to forgive me of my sins and my failures, and help me tonight, Lord, as we try to preach. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in chapter 1 of this book, Peter's, of course, writing, and he said in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture of any private interpretation. Amen. For the prophecy came not in olden time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And of course, the person here that's writing this is the Apostle Peter, and he himself is being moved by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
These are not just his words and his own private interpretation of what was going to happen after his decease. This is some 66 years after the death of Christ that he's writing this book here. And he's being moved of the Holy Ghost to write about the coming of the Lord and the last days. And I just want to look at what the Holy Ghost moved him to write tonight, and try to preach from that for a few minutes tonight. Lord being our helper tonight. Now, the Bible says that Peter said that he wanted to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
Amen.
Now, I'm probably not going to say anything tonight that hadn't already been said by this preacher, that preacher, or any other preacher that preaches the Bible, because we all are preaching from the same book.
Amen.
And if we're saved tonight, we're led by the same Spirit.
Yes.
Every now and then somebody will say, well, Brother Rick, I heard another preacher preach that. I say, well, we're using the same book.
Amen.
And we're being led of the same Spirit.
Yes.
And if we're preaching the truth, we ought to be preaching kind of the same thing.
Yes.
Amen. But I'm glad to know tonight that the Lord is coming. I'd hate to be in this world tonight and Him not be coming. The way this world's looking tonight, and it's waxing worse and worse, and situations are getting worse politically, morally, economically, socially, in every way. This old world is doing just what the Bible said it would do. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But the good news is that Jesus is coming.
Glory.
The Bible said that when He led His disciples away, it was 50 days after the resurrection. It had been 40 days because it was yet 10 days to Pentecost. And that word Pentecost means 50. And so it was 40 days that He had been walking with His disciples. And the Bible said that He led them outside of the city there. And as He talked with them and told them, He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
And He said, once you get this power, He said, you'll be a witness unto me in Jerusalem. And He said, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world.
Amen.
But the Bible said, as He led them out away, and He started out toward the mountain, the Bible said as He was talking to them, He began to be lifted up. They were captivated by His words, and they were captivated by the fact that He was literally being lifted up from them. And as he was watching him go away, there appeared unto them two men in white apparel that said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens?" He said, "This same Jesus that you see going away will come again in like manner." Some say Jesus is not going to come again. He just comes every time that somebody gets saved, he comes. And that's what the Bible means when it talks about the coming of the Lord. Well, not so, because the Bible said as he went away, he'll come again in like manner. The Bible said that he went away in a physical body, and he's going to come back in a glorified body. The Bible said that Jesus went away, and when he went away, only a few were there that saw him go away. And he's coming back to this old world, and only a few's going to see him when he comes back to rapture this old world away when he comes for the church. Now, when he comes at the end of the tribulation, every eye will see him. The Bible said, "And they that perished him, all of the world will see him when he comes back in the clouds of glory." But Peter was led of the Holy Ghost to write this chapter. And he gives us some things here concerning the coming of the Lord. The Bible said, he said here, he said that, I want you to know this, he said first, before the Lord comes, he said first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. A scoffer is someone that would say the Lord's not coming. A scoffer is someone say you Christians are so naive and gullible that you'll believe anything. No, not anything, but anything this book says. That we believe it because it is the Word of God. But he said, I want you to know this, first of all, he said, before the Lord does come, there's going to be a lot of scoffers walking around and making fun and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" Well, I want you to know that that part of what Peter wrote is being fulfilled right now. While that we're meeting here in this church house tonight, there's scoffers in Russell Springs and down in Barron County and all over the world. There's people that don't believe the Lord will ever come again. But my friend, there were those that didn't think He'd come the first time, but He did. I'll tell you, there were those that thought that He couldn't come and be born of a virgin, like was prophesied in Isaiah 7 and 14. The Bible said the Lord Himself will give a sign, and a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. Well, I'm glad God gave His Son. The Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Isaiah looked down through the prophetic telescope, and Isaiah said, "For unto us," he said, "a son is given unto us." He said, "A child is born, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And of the increase of His government and peace, there will come no end. You say, "Well, preacher, how in the world? How could anybody be born of a virgin?" Well, the Bible said in 1 Timothy 3 and 16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and caught up in the glory." Well, I'm glad Jesus is coming again. The Bible said they'd come scoffers, and they'd be walking after their own lust. In other words, they don't want the Lord to come. I wouldn't want Him to come either if I was living like some people are living. I wouldn't want Him to come either if I was going to hell. When He came, I wouldn't want Him to come. You see, they're lusting for the things of the flesh. They're lusting for the things of this world. But you see, the child of God, he don't love this world, neither things therein. For all that's in this world is the lust of the flesh. flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and the love of the Father is not in these things, the Bible said. I tell you, we're to use the world, but not abuse the world. I tell you, God made the world not for our pleasure, but His pleasure. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 4, He said, for thy pleasure all things were created. You say, well, God don't want us to enjoy it. Oh, no. God wants us to enjoy it, but He wants us to enjoy it as a Christian and giving Him praise for all things, giving Him praise for the blue skies that declare the glory of God, giving Him praise for our families, our health, and all the blessings that God has given us. But the Bible said the Holy Ghost of God, it moved upon this man of God, and He said, you write in that book, before I come, there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lust. Well, I tell you what, they're out there. You know, the Holy Ghost, you see, God is the only one that knows the end from the beginning. And God, isn't that amazing that God, the Holy Ghost, could tell you what was going to be happening 2,000 years after Jesus died? That would have to be God, because He said there'll be men walking, and He said they'll not only be walking, He said, I'll tell you what they're going to be saying. He said they're going to say, where is the promise of His coming? You see, God knows the saint and the sinner so well that God knows what you're going to say before you say it. God knows what you're going to do before you do it. You say, why? Because He's God and He knows everything, the Bible says. But they say, where is the promise of His coming? I'll tell you where it is. It's right there in that book. Amen. I'll tell you where it is. It's right here in my heart. I'll tell you, the promise of His coming is true. Amen. This afternoon. The Bible says, but He said they're walking around and they're saying, where is the promise of His coming? And He said, for this they're willingly ignorant. The reason they don't know nothing about the coming of the Lord is because they have chose to know nothing about the coming of the Lord. They chose to be willingly ignorant. Amen. Oh, Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say, we may have been born into this world ignorant, but God knows there's no reason to stay that way. Amen. I tell you, there may have been a time I didn't know much about the Word of God, but God give me a Bible. I put the author inside of me. I give me a private tutor every time I read the Word of God. I'm being homeschooled. Amen. And I want you to know, thank God, that the Holy Ghost, He will teach us the Word of God. If we want to know the Word of God, but people choose to be willingly ignorant of God's Word. Amen.
Amen.
Scoffers. And then the Bible said the Holy Ghost moved upon him. He said, I want you to write in verse 8 and 9. He says here, he says, for this they're willingly ignorant. But then he said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. He said, they may be willingly ignorant, but he said, don't you be ignorant of this one thing.
Amen.
And he said, I want you to write there, verse 8. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
Amen.
Amen. Who was I talking to right before church? They talked about how old they were. Brother, it was you, brother, wasn't it? All right, I believe he said he was 70 years old.
Is there?
All right, well, see, in the Lord's eyes, you're not old at all. One day is with the Lord's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Amen. You see, God doesn't look at time like we do. You know, when a preacher preaches about an hour, and people start saying, where's he going to get done? You look back there, and they don't quit looking at their watches, and they start beating on their watches and saying, is he ever going to hush? And somebody said, you don't need a watch when you preach. You need a calendar is what you need. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord's not concerned about how long that we stay in church. Amen. I tell you, we don't have to stay 2 hours.
Your sign out there says worship service probably at 11 o'clock. But worship service may start at 10. It may start at 5 minutes after 11, and it may be over by 20 minutes after 11. We don't know when the Spirit's going to come and how long He's going to stay and when He's going to leave. But I tell you what, when the Spirit's there and the truth is there, we can worship the Lord. Amen. And I believe we got both of them tonight. Amen. I'm glad tonight for the Spirit of God. And He said, listen, He said, the Lord is not slack like some people think God is slack. They say, well, the Lord, you know, you just can't. He said He's coming, but where's He at? The Lord is just slack, and well, His ways are not our ways. No, the Bible said in Isaiah, for His ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not His thoughts.
Amen.
Amen. That's why some people it's lost. You know, they say, well, preacher, I just think. But it don't matter what you think. It don't matter what I think. What matters is what God said.
Amen.
That's what matters. And if what we think is what God thinks, then we're thinking right. But if what we're thinking is not what God's thinking, I tell you, God don't need to change His thinking. We need to change our thinking, amen. And we need to be conformed to this book. Well, He said, I want you to write there, He said, the Lord is not slack as some men count slackness. You see, if I'd pulled in here tonight about 7 o'clock, you'd said, my, that preacher's slow. Where's he at? He should have been here 30 minutes ago. He just don't care. Or he stopped. Or this happened or that happened. Well, that might be true. But the Lord is not slack as some men count slackness. There's a reason why that the Lord has not come yet. Amen. You know, the Bible in every place, it looks to me like in the Bible, it seems to indicate that by the time the Lord comes, just about everybody thinks that He's really not going to come. Because the Bible said, He said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? The Bible said, an evil servant said, my Lord delays His coming. The Bible said in the parable of the virgins, it was midnight. The Bible said in the cry, and the cry came, go you out to meet the bridegroom. And all of these scriptures indicate that the Lord, He may not have come as quick as we thought He was going to come. And that's already a truth tonight to every one of us. Amen. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thought the Lord would have come many years ago.
Amen.
Amen. And I thought 10 years ago things couldn't get much worse. And I thought that just about everything was fulfilled in the Bible 15 years ago. But the Lord still hadn't come.
Right.
You say, well, why is that? Well, the Lord's waiting for something. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3 and 8 that the Bible said that the Lord was long-suffering and He waited while that Noah was preparing the ark.
Right.
The Bible said the Lord was waiting for Noah to get his work done. That's why that the flood hadn't come yet. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, 7 billion people on the planet, most of them are probably lost. And the Bible said the Lord is long-suffering. Why? Because unlike what the world has been programmed to believe, the Lord doesn't want anybody to go to hell. The Lord didn't want to send anybody to hell. The Lord didn't want to have to chastise anybody. The Lord didn't want to have to whip anybody. Oh no, the Lord is long-suffering, full of compassion and mercy. And I'll tell you, the Lord is willing to wait. Amen. He's willing to wait a little while. While that men have opportunity to get saved and come to the Lord. We know the day will come when the Lord will come. The Bible said here in this verse, He said, He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. See, anybody in this room tonight got saved in 2011? I know there's one young lady here, Eddie's talking about the first lady get saved in the church. Anybody get saved 2010? Lady back there, right there, aren't y'all glad the Lord didn't come 2009?
Amen.
You see, the Lord was long suffering.
Yeah.
My, we all laughed a little bit about that.
and understandable. But listen, just think about if the Lord had to come in 2009. Them two young ladies had been in hell. They'd been in hell and they'd been there for all eternity. Man, that's a thought, isn't it? To realize that if the Lord had came in 2009 and they wasn't unsaved, that they would be in hell for all eternity. How that we need to witness. How do we need to try to get out and tell people about Jesus and how important it is, because we don't know how much longer the Lord's going to wait. He may come tonight. He may come. We don't know. The Bible said, for the Son of Man is as a man who took a journey into a far country. The Bible said he left his house. Gave authority unto his servants, to every man his work. He commanded the porter to watch. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. For we know not when our Lord comes. Whether in the evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Amen. I tell you, we need to be watching for the Lord and looking for the Lord. Because it may seem like the Lord has been slack, but the only reason the Lord has been like that is because he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Slackness. But the Holy Ghost is moving on this holy man of God. This is not his own private interpretation. This is what the Holy Ghost is telling him to write. In the whole Bible, if we'd have got this from Grimm's Book of Fairy Tales, that we'd have picked up at the public library or down at Walmart, we might not believe it. But we ain't reading out of Grimm's Book of Fairy Tales.
Amen.
We're reading out of God's holy word.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Psalms 119, in verse 160, all thy word is true, and all thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The Bible said in Psalms 33 and verse 4, the word of the Lord is right.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is right.
Amen.
And all of his works are true.
Amen.
And they're righteous. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord's coming. The Holy Ghost said, you tell them, Peter, you write in that book, and you tell them, before I come, there'll be scoffers.
Amen.
He said, you tell them that before I come, that there'll be some that think I'm slow, that I'm slack, that I'm not coming, that I'm waiting too long. But he said, you write this and you tell them this. Look in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost wants us to know it may have been a long time coming. The Holy Ghost wants us to know it may have been over 2,000 years since our Lord left. It may have been a long time coming. But the Holy Ghost said, and you underline it there in your Bible, he said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The day of the Lord will come. It will come. Every scoffer will be convinced. He will come. Every Christian will be taken out and raptured away to be with the Lord. He will come. I thank God no child left behind. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God is able, amen, to get his church out of this world and into the glory world. And I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Be good to conclude this meeting over on the other side. But he said it'll happen quick. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants us to understand that. He said he uses the terminology. He's talking about the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Amen.
The thief doesn't call your house at 10 o'clock and say, I'm going to break in at 12.
Amen.
The thief, he doesn't break into your house and go and get the garbage out of the garbage can and leave. No. You see, the thief, when the Bible says the Lord will come like a thief,
amen,
he's meaning he'll come without any warning.
Amen.
He'll just come. Amen. He'll just come and we'll know the Lord is going to come, because He said, it'll be like a thief. It'll be quick. You say, how's a thief? How do you hear a thief? Well, there's usually a noise in the night. A window breaks. A door kicks in. There's usually a loud noise. And you know a thief is in. Amen. Can I tell you, the Lord's going to come back with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive, remain, shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord? The Bible says it's going to be quick. It's not going to take long. The sureness of it. You know, there's not a whole lot of things really sure in this world. Amen. That's true, isn't it? But the Bible is sure. And the Bible said the day of the Lord will come. He uses this similitude of a thief in the night. As I said, the thief don't call ahead.
Amen.
And the thief don't come into your house to get junk and garbage.
Right.
When the thief comes into your house, he's coming to get something worth something.
Yeah.
Amen.
When he comes into your house, he's coming to get your treasure.
Amen.
You say, Brother Rick, are we worth anything? No, we're not. But he had chosen to put his treasure in earthen vessels. And the Bible said he's coming back for his treasures, thank God. Like a thief in the night, he's going to come. He's going to get his jewels and take them out of this old world. And I'll say hallelujah, even so, come Lord Jesus. But I want you to understand, the similitude here is like a thief in the night. But then he talks about the seriousness of it. It's a serious thing to talk about the Lord coming. Because he says, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Well, that's serious.
Right.
Amen. That's serious.
Amen.
The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the earth shall melt with a fervent heat,
amen,
the Bible says. Down at the college and over to high school, some places, they're trying to cram into our children's minds, and they're trying to say that all this evolved, and we all got here because somewhere way back yonder, there was an explosion, there was a big bang, and then all of this came about. Well, they're telling them a half-truth. It didn't start with a big bang, but it's going to end with one.
Amen.
Amen. They're telling them a half-truth. And I'll tell you, an explosion don't bring things together. Everyone I ever seen blow things apart. Amen. But I'll tell you, the Lord is going to come back. And the Bible said when He does, this old world is going to be burnt with a fervent heat. And the elements thereof are going to melt, the Bible said, and dissolve and run away. And everything that man has made, God is going to destroy it. Amen. And this world is going to burn up. My dad, he's in the nursing home, been there since January. But there was I took him to get some medicine over the drugstore one day. And there was as he was coming out, there was a black man going in. And I seen him stop, and I seen him ask Daddy something. I sat in the truck watching all this. And I seen him ask Daddy something. I seen Daddy shake his head and kind of grin and say, I don't know. And he come, he got in the truck, and I said, Daddy, I said, what was he asking you? He said, oh, he brings my medicine up to the apartment. He said he come up there the other day and said he brought some other people with him. And he said they talk crazy talk. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they said there wasn't no hell. And he said they said that the earth is never going to be burned up. And he said, that ain't right, is it? I said, no, that ain't right. That ain't what the Bible said. And I knew that guy was Jehovah's Witness, and I said, Daddy, was he asking you if you knew what the name of Jehovah? And he said, yeah, that's what he was asking me. That's what he was asking me.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Well, I know this guy. He used to work with his brother. And they all work out there at the hospital in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it made me mad.
Amen.
And I wanted to do something right then, but I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I won't do nothing now, but I said, Lord, you give me opportunity.
Amen.
And I will.
Glory.
Well, about 2 months later, my dad had to go out to the hospital, Brother Eddie, for some tests. I had him out there early one morning. I took my dad out there, and they come and got him. They took him back, and I'm sitting there in the waiting room with a couple of people, and I'm sitting there waiting, and guess who walked in?
Amen.
And I said, hey, you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing good. I said, I want to ask you something. He said, what is it? I said, how in the world did a fella ever go from being a Baptist, a saved Baptist, to joining Jehovah's Witness? He said, well, he said, I just married this woman. That's what she was. Well, listen, we don't choose our eternal salvation by who we marry and what they are. And he said, it's all the same anyway. He said, we're all just trying to get to the same place and hoping we make it. I said, hold it.
Amen, Bridget.
I said, I ain't hoping nothing.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not a hoping nothing. I said, people in the Bible, I said, they didn't act like they didn't know where they're going.
Yeah.
I said, Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, hath that righteous judge, shall give me, and not to be only, but all those that love His appearing. That sound like somebody knew where they's going.
That's right.
I said, suppose you get up there, and you ain't going the right way, what are you going to do then? Too late. He said, well, it's just all the same. And he said, the world is not going to be destroyed. I said, the Bible says, be not ignorant of this one thing, but one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just one day.
Right.
But the day of the Lord will come, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the earth and the elements thereof shall be dissolved and melt away. I said, that sounds to me like something's going to happen to it.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, well, I got to go. I got a lot of cleaning to do.
Yeah. Amen.
You got a lot of something to do. Amen.
Amen.
My brother, it's serious. He said this is going to happen quick. I was preaching over North Carolina last month. And as I started the revival one night over in Mauksville, North Carolina, as I started toward Dutchman Creek Baptist Church, there's a lady that runs a barbecue place right there just outside the church door almost. And she was living when we come down through. We was in church for about an hour and a half. As we come back out, there was ambulances and policemen and fire trucks there. And I asked my wife, I said, wonder what's going on there. They must have had a fight in there or something. The next morning I asked Brother Tuggle, I said, Brother Tuggle, what was going on down there last night? He said, that woman suddenly died. And that woman was alive when we went down to the revival. When we went back out of the revival, that woman was out in eternity somewhere. I'm telling you, it's a serious thing. Brother, you don't have to be old to die. I preached to him Sunday morning. I said the first person that died in the Bible was not a father, it was a son. And his own brother killed him. I tell you, you don't have to be old to die. The papers fill with young people that are dying every day. We've had I don't know how many young people in our community die in the last year. I'm telling you, it's a sudden thing. It's revival. It's salvation, getting saved. It's not just something for a few old people that's about ready to die. I'm telling you that everybody needs to be saved. Jesus died for all, the Bible said. It's a serious thing. Amen. The Holy Ghost said, you write that down there.
Right.
He said, you write down there, this is going to happen quick. This is going to be quick.
Amen.
Amen. He said, you write this down there. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for, hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens been on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. But he said, we, nevertheless, we according to his promise, we look for a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can I tell you, he said, you write this down there. The day of the Lord is going to come. And sinners need to know it's a serious matter if you're not saved. It's a serious matter tonight. Serious tonight. If you're not ready for the Lord coming tonight, if you're not living where you ought to be, if you're not faithful to the Lord as a Christian, it's a serious matter tonight.
Amen, brother.
You need to come tonight and get on this altar and rededicate your life to God. But if you are tonight lost and never been saved, I tell you, it's a serious thing tonight. And you don't need to leave this room without knowing that you know where you're going when you leave this world. Amen. I think a lot of people, the devil just somehow or another just makes them kind of joke along all their life. And they say, well, I think I'm ready. I hope I'm ready. And they'll make little jokes about it. But let me tell you something. The Bible says this. The Bible says we're looking for that blessed hope. He said, the grace that brought salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should be righteously and soberly. That word sober is the word serious. He said we need to be serious about serving God.
Amen, brother.
Can I tell you, it's all right for us to have a little fun as Christians, but brother, when it comes down to people going to hell, when it comes down to altar time and things like that, it's serious business.
Amen, brother.
Because people are going to hell. And he says, I want you to write this down. I want you to tell my people that seeing then that the Lord is going to come, it'll be sudden. And seeing that when the Lord is going to come, it's going to be serious. He said, I want you to tell the saints that this is how they need to be living. You say, how are they supposed to live? Well, he says here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be?
Yeah.
In all holy conversation and godliness.
Amen.
In other words, that we are to do things as a Christian that is becoming to us as a child of God. We are to live holy lives. We're trying to live right and do right and act right because we are ambassadors of this world because we are children of God and we are a reflection upon our Heavenly Father. And it's been said we are the only Bible that some people ever read. And so we need to be living righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. Every pastor has had the experience of trying to talk to somebody and they say, so-and-so go to your church. And you say, yeah. You say, man, they're a hypocrite. I'm good as they are. I'm good as they are. And the sad part is that a lot of times there's some truth to that. You see, that hurts the testimony of the church and it makes it hard to get people saved and right with God. That was Lot's problem, you see. Lot went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot went down there and even though he was a righteous man, he vexed his soul from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Well, if he couldn't have heard it if he hadn't been around them.
Amen.
See, he heard them, the filthy conversation of the wicked. Don't stand there and listen to somebody tell a filthy joke. Walk off. Don't stand there and listen to somebody take God's name in vain without having an opportunity to speak up and say, I want you to know God said, he that taketh the Lord thy God's name in vain will not be held guiltless.
Right.
I mean, stand up for the Lord. Brother Eddie said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
He was saying what the Bible said. We have opportunity tonight. We have the same rights. Amen. But he said we're to live in holiness. And then he says a strange thing here. He says, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God. It's like he's saying that somehow or another we can hurry it up. And I've heard different thoughts on it. You know, I've heard some say, well, you know, one of these days the last person's going to get saved. When that last person gets saved, the body of Christ is going to be complete. And the Lord's going to come back. And maybe that's so.
And if it is, that's why we need to be out witnessing and praying and telling others about the Lord. Because it would be good if the last person that was going to make up the body of Christ was sitting in this service tonight, and in a few minutes they came down to the altar and they wept and cried, and God granted them repentance, and they had godly sorrow that worked repentance not to never be repented of again. And they got up and said, "Thank God He saved me." Whoop! Roll out of here.
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe that's what that means. But I said a minute ago, the Bible said the Lord waited while Noah was preparing the ark. You say, what was he waiting on? He's waiting on Noah to get on. He said, "No, I can't do this till you get done. When you get done, then I'll come." Maybe the Lord's waiting on some of us lazy, sorry, not doing our work Christians to get up and do our work. And the Lord will say, "When you get the work done, then I can come. Hurry up, get the work done." Amen. Amen. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I know He says, "Hasten, looking for to the coming of the day of the Lord." And then the Bible says this, what do you want Him to come for? Well, He says, because this world's going to be burned up. But nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen. Yeah.
You see, they're looking for fire. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
They're looking for hell. We're looking for the lights of home.
Amen.
Amen. They're looking for their world to be over. We're looking for ours to start.
Amen.
Amen. We was coming back from the mountains Tuesday. We took our grandkids down there. Zoe, Davini, and Zach. Zach's my 17-year-old grandson. The other two are between 7 and 10. You get in the motel room with a 17-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, about 2 days is all you want. We start back, and Zach, he's this teenager, and he aggravates he calls her Ninny. He aggravates his Ninny, my wife, all the time. Just, you know how teenagers are. And he's got something that's on her, and they're all laughing. And she says, "I tell you," she said, "y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone." And Dave, and he's the littlest one, she said, "Where are you going, Nanny?" "And I want you to know we are going somewhere. I know where I'm going. What about you? When this life's over, I'm going home. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to stay where I'm going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. And I want you to go with me." See, we look for a new heaven.
Right.
We just about wore this one out, this old earth, and God's going to give us a new one. Let me finish up here. The Holy Ghost said, you're right about this. You know, probably more important than the scoffers or the slackness or the suddenness or even the saints, probably the most important thing He wrote here, moved to the Holy Ghost to write, in verse 15. And He said, "Account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation."
Amen.
Webster's defines the word salvation as a deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
As a deliverance from something.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. You say, what have we been delivered from? The wrath to come.
Yeah.
Romans 5 and verse 6, the Bible said, "When we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly."
Amen. Amen.
"Scarcely for a righteous man one would die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Therefore, being now
much more justified by His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath to come.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5 and 9 said, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad, listen, I'm glad that the Lord is coming to deliver the saints of God.
Amen.
For what's coming on this old world. Amen. He speaks about the deliverance of the saints. But really what he's got in mind here, he's speaking about the deliverance of the sinners. Look over into Jude, and just about done here, but in Jude, the Bible says in Jude, the only one chapter there in verse 21, the Bible said, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and if some have compassion making a difference, and others say with fear pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's what people get saved. It's like pulling them out of the fire. That's what the Lord said. If somebody got saved here tonight, it would be literally like pulling them out of the fire.
Amen.
You see, you're not waiting to be condemned. You're already condemned. You're already condemned. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Amen.
But He said, here is condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Amen.
And that's what condemns them. It's because of that. And then the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, He said, the Comforter won't come. But He said, when He is come, He'll reprove or convict, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin, because you believe not on Me. Of the sin that sends people to hell. More than anything else is the sin of unbelief, that they have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sends people to hell. And people get saved. Amen. It was an old Indian chief got saved. And some missionaries went out there. And I know I have some friends that used to go out and minister on the Indian reservations. Old Brother Raymond King used to go out there and minister to the Indians. And him and his wife Linda, the enlighteners that were just at our church, they'd just been on the Indian reservation singing and ministering to Indians. And somebody had been out there, and this old Indian chief got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And of course, you know what happens when you get saved. If you really get saved,
amen,
you start wanting other people to get saved.
Right.
One of the great indications that you've been converted and saved, that you pass from death to life, is that you love the brethren.
Amen.
You begin to care about other people getting saved.
Right.
Amen. I know the day I got saved. I know the day I got saved. I went home, Eddie. And I didn't understand all that happened to me that day, but I knew something had happened big.
Bless you, Lord.
And I went home that day, and I wept going to the altar. I wept on the altar. I wept back to my seat. I wept in the back seat of our 62 Chevrolet as my mother drove us kids home. And I was in the back seat. I wept all the way home. I got home, I went back to my bedroom, and I wept on my bunk bed back there all evening. And finally my mother, she come in there several times, and finally my mother come in there and sat down on the bed, and she said, Ricky, she said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know, Mama. And she began to ask me questions, and finally she said, is it your daddy? Is it because your daddy's not saved? Is it because you want your daddy to go to church with you? I said, yeah, Mama, that's it. I heard my mama get up and go down the hallway, and I heard her going to the table there where my dad was, and I heard her say, Linus, Ricky's in there crying. He's been in there crying all evening. He wants you to go to church with him tonight.
Man.
Well, my dad, I guess he had enough love. He didn't want to go, but he went.
Man.
And I stood sitting in that church, and it was the first time I'd ever had my daddy with me. And I stood there by my dad, and I felt like I was 10 foot tall. The preacher preached, give the altar call. I'd got saved that morning, but I went back down to the altar that night weeping. Got down on the altar, and my dad come, and he got down beside me. And we all wept, and there were several on the altar. And I remember the preacher had everybody to stand up. And everybody stood up, and And he began to ask us to give our testimony, and I told that I got saved that morning, and he got down to my dad, and I can remember some of it. I was just 10 years old, and I can remember my dad saying, well, he said, I know the Lord done something for me nobody else could ever do. And he said, I know. He said, I got under conviction, and he said, I went everywhere. He said, I went and talked to this one and that one, and he said, finally, I thought there's something serious wrong, and I went to the doctor. The doctors back then were not like a lot of the doctors today, not all of them maybe, but a lot of them. And that doctor knew God, and that doctor must have had some discernment and spirituality, because he said, sir, he son, he said, there ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, you're not a Christian, are you? He said, no, and he said, the only thing wrong with you, said, you need to get saved. And my dad got saved. Did live for the Lord a while, but then got away from the Lord, but he's back right with the Lord now. But I said all that to say this, that my dad got saved. When you get saved, you'll get concerned about somebody that's not saved.
That's right.
That old Indian chief got saved, and he began to try to win the others to the Lord. And he couldn't make them understand. And they said, what do you mean about getting saved? What do you mean? And he would try with all his vocabulary to tell them and describe to them. And finally his eyes lit up like a light he'd come on. And he said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He went back there and he come back and he had a bunch of dry twigs. And he piled them up in a circle. And he got a match out and he lit those dry twigs. And they began to catch on fire until it was all burning. Then he reached in his pocket and got out a little box and he got a worm out. And he laid that worm in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And he said, this is getting saved. And he reached his hand in and got that worm out of the fire. And he said, I was a worm.
Yeah.
Just a worm.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
But he said, God reached in and got me out of the fire.
Amen.
That's what getting saved is.
Yeah.
That's what getting saved is. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that God saves worms.
Hey.
Just don't deserve to be saved. But that nail-scarred hand reached down out of Calvary and plucked me out of the fire one day. I think he plucked many of you out of the fire today. And there may be somebody here tonight that needs to be plucked out of the fire.
Amen.
I want the pianist to come and get a song and the song leader to come. And tonight, I'm sure tonight that most of this crowd tonight is saved. And I hope tonight that you just take a minute to just thank the Lord. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Thank God He got me out of the fire. He got me, a worm, out of the fire. Just thank the Lord for what He's done for you. But if you're not saved, you ought to come tonight.
Yeah.
And if God has put somebody on your heart tonight, that as I was preaching about being concerned for others, and God put somebody on your heart tonight, you ought to come and just pray for them and intercede to God for them.
Amen.
Because prayer works.
Amen, brother.
Stand if you would, please. Lord, I thank you for helping me preach tonight. Thank you for the people that come to listen. And we've tried to preach your word tonight, and I pray it's found lodging places in the hearts of people. Help us now to be humble and obedient and willing to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Page 181.
Let's mind the Lord tonight. Lord Jesus, help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Do mind God. Just have your way, Jesus. God, have your way, Jesus. Lord God, have your way. Jesus. Touch some heart tonight, Lord, some lost soul. May they get concerned tonight about their self. Come to Jesus. Help them, Lord, I pray.
Suffering you because he loves you.
He don't want you to perish. He wants you to get saved. Go to a place He went away from there called heaven. He didn't make heaven for Him. He made heaven for you. Can you imagine God making a place like heaven and you miss it? That'd be one of the haunts of hell. One of the horrors of hell was to know that you missed something God had in mind for you. Won't you come tonight? I mean right now. Get somebody by the hand. Say, go with me, please. I've got to get to Jesus. He loves me. He's waiting on me. Wants to save me. I'm telling you, buddy, He's done all the hard work. He's over. He died just so He can say, go with me. I'll see you about forgiveness. What preacher tonight? Anointed Word of God. Preach tonight. Listen, why don't you be obedient? The Bible said not to be hearers only, but be doers. The Lord said, come. Come now. I mean urgent. Come now, God said. He said, all that come to Him, He'll no wise turn away. Folks, come tonight. Boys, be a good night. All right, Brother Rick, I'm surprised it's went this far. I'm surprised the Lord hadn't come already. That lady in that barbecue place, I believe that she knew she was going to die. I believe she went for Bible that night. But she stayed down at the barbecue place and the ambulance pulled up there. When the meeting was over with, buddy, it was over for her. Why don't you come tonight? I love you. I'll pray with you. You ain't got nothing to lose, everything to gain. I don't know what you're waiting on. But whatever it is, just knock it aside and come on.
228.
Come on. We're going to sing another invitational hymn. I never felt such leading of God tonight for the lost. Won't you come tonight? Come on. You're here tonight undecided. Get up there and straighten it out. The Bible said a devil-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Talk to your fellow there with a doctor. If you got two things in your mind, get rid of the one that don't make no sense and take the Word of God as the truth like the preacher preached tonight. Jesus said, thy Word is truth. Well, I've got the truth of the Word of God tonight. Amen. One thing it's impossible for God to do, it's impossible for God to lie. I'll tell you right now, God loves you. He's not lying. He said, come, I'll fix it. Come, I'll forgive. Come, I'll save you. You got to come to Him. Jesus said, John 5:40, you will not come to me that you may have life. Right now, the Lord's waiting up here. You may not be able to see Him, but I promise you this, He's waiting up here. He's waiting right now to receive you. You heard my testimony? I heard the preaching of the Word of God. I couldn't wait to get saved. Your brother Rick, 10 years old, buddy, he burned up there at that altar. He said he didn't understand everything about it, but he said, I got saved. Amen. Why don't you get saved now? Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
228.
Listen, I've been praying for you. Yeah, I am pleading with you. It's only because I love you. What if you come tonight? Even to the Lord who's suffering. Even the God that was set before Him, that He was willing to do that cross, just so He could say, you're forgiven, go in peace. Come on! Behind. And I tell you right now, but it's not going to be good. Right now, ladies of grace.
Right now, as whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You get left behind, buddy. You see what you missed out on. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Appreciate everybody coming tonight. Appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. What you got there, Sister Sophia?
I want to tell what the Lord is doing for
me. Amen.
As all of you know, I had to have gallbladder surgery.
Bless the Lord.
Doctor didn't give me no chance of living through it. My heart was so bad. And then Sister Margaret and Brother Melvin and my friend back there with
yeah.
me. And the niece that came from Eastern Kentucky was with me, and there was all of them right there. Before we did ask them if there was anything I wanted to say,
bless.
I said, yes, I've got friends and family out there. I saw them on the dog come in and pray for me.
Yeah, ma'am.
Before I go in there,
bless you, sister.
He said, well, I'll step out a minute and let them come in.
Amen.
He did. And they all prayed for me. And the preacher said he was down on his knees praying.
Amen.
When Brother Melvin told yes. come out, Mom told him she made it through it.
Amen.
That he was down on his knees at that time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I've had a happy heart for two people in this church.
Bless you, Sister Sophie.
I've been a praying.
Amen. Amen.
I feel like that's why God brought me through that.
Bless you, sister.
He still had work for me to do.
Amen.
And I don't want to see them go to harm me.
Amen.
And I'm praying that they will come.
Bless your heart, sister Sophia. Amen. Since you got two people dear to her, she sure would like to see them get saved. Appreciate her testimony. You know, those doctors, believe it or not, they're just practicing physicians.
Amen.
I'm glad there's a great physician.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, buddy, when it's done past time, he still raised them up. They said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother hadn't died. He said, I'm the resurrection. They didn't understand it, but when he said Lazarus would come forth, they understood it then. Been dead 4 days. Appreciate everybody's come. Anybody got anything on your heart? I don't know what else to do but throw a hand grenade in the back row. I don't know. I threaten to do it. I may bring a couple hand grenades in here and just wing them. We'll find out who's saved or not. The Lord can't move you. I can't. I'm just joking. And amen, Sister Carolyn. Amen. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Thank you for saving my soul. Brother Rick said, well, get in line. You saved. Just praise the Lord. That's what she just did. Thank him for saving my soul.
I want to praise the Lord tonight. Thank you for
Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
Bless you, Sister Molly.
I love you tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Molly. I don't know what's ailing you tonight, but I'm convinced a good dose of Jesus will make it that much better.
Amen.
Amen. Are we done tonight? I ain't going to linger. We're good Baptists. We'll try to get out on time. Bless you, Sister Crystal.
I'm glad to come with the friends that I came
with. Yeah. Bless you, Sister Christopher. Amen. Since she's a good friend of Sophie, they live across from each other, help one another. Tell you what a blessing that is. Amen. What a blessing that is. Yeah. Hope you make a habit of coming back. Good to have you with us. Amen. Sure was good to have you. Are we done?
Everybody come back, bring somebody with you.
Yeah, bring about three or four with you. I went in jail one time preaching. I couldn't believe it. To my amazement, a guy got out. He went up there and hit on the door and said, I want out of here. And they let him out. I just preached loud enough he could hear it wherever he went. I'll tell you right now, everybody don't want to hear, but I hope you got a blessing tonight. Hope you come back tomorrow night and hear some more. Hope you bring somebody with you. I love you tonight. You'll have to hear me. We'll turn this preacher loose. We'll get out of the way and sit down and shut up. Amen, Brother Melvin. Precept upon precept, line upon line. What thus saith the Word of God. That's what you heard tonight. 15 precepts, 15 lines of the Word of God. Commented upon. Amen. All right. Let's all stand tonight, Brother Melvin. You dismiss us, please, brother.
Lord, thank you for the message.